Amen. Such a powerful atmosphere here this evening, and it's good to be back in Lagos. We were out in Ibadan yesterday doing the work of the Lord. But we're going to get straight into the message this evening. Amen. Amen. And again, I want to express my appreciation to my brother, Pastor Kunli, and my sister, Resola. It's always such a joy and an absolute pleasure to be with you. Amen. Amen. Let's get into the teaching this evening. So we ended off the other evening speak about the importance of community and how God gives us a community context where we are able to validate our experience, our claims, and whatever we believe God is doing for us spiritually, how we use the community as a means of validating those claims and those experiences. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I want to go a little bit deeper this evening and speak about why it is critical for us to understand how community also holds us accountable for growth. Our community also holds us accountable for growth. We ended off in the book of Acts, chapter 16, and we began to knit those verses together where we began to see how community establishes argument, establishes doctrine, and fine-tunes certain beliefs. Amen? Amen? And how nobody is exempted from finding expression in community. Outside of community, you are a rebel. Outside of community, there's anarchy. Outside of community, there's inconsistency. But community becomes the framework that judges every spiritual claim. Are you with me?
Yes,
I want to go a little bit further this evening and speak about how community facilitates growth and how we are responsible for personal growth in community. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5. Right. It says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. They resist understanding. Are you following me? So it's not necessarily a situation where the preachers are struggling to explain. It's where the people are just resisting understanding. They refuse to understand. And sometimes understanding is consistent with your receptiveness, not necessarily with the articulation of the speaker. If you are not receptive, you'll hear nothing. Are you with me? So your spirit must be open at all times. Verse 12. He says, in fact, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you still need someone to teach you. So the progression is always from being taught to being the teacher. There is always the progression of discipleship. In one season of our life, somebody explains it to us. In another season of our life, we explain it to others. Are you following me? Jesus said, what I do, you will also do. What I do, you will also do. Very key that we understand that. So our growth must always be measured. And how do you measure it? The things that you used to receive as a student, you now give as a teacher. Are you following me? So as always, gauging the growth of the individual. Are you following me? He says, by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. And he goes on and he says, you need milk, not solid food. And then he explains, he gives us a context for that, verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk is still an infant. This person is not acquainted with the teachings of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. By constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, again, it's very important that we take note of that last portion of Scripture because discernment needs a word basis for it to be accurate. It is not just something you pick up in your spirit, but it is something that you reference against the word that's in your spirit. Are you with me? It's very important that we understand that because we tend to dissociate spirituality from the actual and the literal word of God. And so sometimes somebody can be discerning, but he has no word foundation. That means his discernment can be out. So the word informs discernment. Very key that you understand that. The word informs discernment. If I call you up here and I judge certain things about you, against what word am I referencing that judgment? Do you understand? If I call it Dara out on certain behaviors and I discern certain things are not right in the spirit, against what word Am I referencing my judgment? If there's no word basis for my judgment that I pass on any situation, then there is just my opinion. An opinion can be inaccurate because opinion can be driven by our emotions. It can be driven by our intellect. It can be driven by our circumstances. And it's very important for us to make a distinction between opinion and proper judgment and proper discernment. It's not how you feel. You understand what I'm saying? Whether you like somebody or not, if he's a man of God, he's a man of God. You get me? Whether you like somebody or not, if he's a prophet, he's a prophet. You understand what I'm saying? So we never put people under the scrutiny of our emotions, of our feelings, and of our will. We always look at them through the lens of the word. So it says, having eat solid foods is for the mature who constantly use that, who's constantly been trained in that, and now they are able to distinguish good from evil. Are you following me? So the word helps us then to come to a place where we start making distinctions. But it's important for you to notice that the recipient of the word is always weighed. And when you look at that scripture, there's a few things that is measured there. The first thing is that he's able to teach it. And the second thing is he's able to make sound judgment calls. And that almost becomes the default criteria for gauging whether somebody is growing in a community or not. You following me?
Yes.
It becomes the default criteria for weighing whether somebody is growing in a community or not. Now, let me start off by saying this to you. We have this misconstrued notion that growth, spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally, are automated processes. We make the assumption that it's something we just come into. And very seldom do you find as Christians we are intentional about our growth. So we think you just get to that place automatically. Growth is always intentional.
Yes, sir.
It's always a decision you make to grow. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Say growth is intentional.
Growth is intentional.
So it is never an automated process. We also assume generally that we are growing without really subjecting ourselves to proper scrutiny that consistently weighs our growth. Now, what do I mean by that? We can find ourselves in a church context, but never get weighed. And the day they decide to weigh us, we become offended. You understand what I'm saying? So when you're in a community context, you must be weighed. And one of the ways that we weigh you is we track your judgment, your discernment, and we track your ability to teach the things that you were taught previously. In other words, you can regurgitate that. You can do the same for others. Are you following me? But growth is something that does not happen through an automated process. It is something that happens intentionally. And people need to willingly participate in that process called growth. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But you see, the problem is we have created a church culture where we celebrate giftedness and we easily abandon issues like rebuke, like reprimand, like being called to order. And those are really the foundations of growth. Anybody can enjoy and thrive in a culture of celebration. But the litmus test for whether a person is matured in their spirit or not is how they process rebuke, how they process correction, how they process reproof. Now, both of those elements are necessary. But if we only raise you on celebration, you become a brittle Christian. And the day when the challenges of life come, you succumb to that because you have not matured to a level where you can deal with the harder things that comes with serving God. Are you hearing me? And those things become crucial and those things become key. But unfortunately, we have produced a church culture that is high on celebration and very low on correction, very low on rebuke, very low on reproof. Paul wrote and Paul said, the word is good for rebuke. The word is good for reproof. The word is good for correction. And that was the criteria that he used to weigh the growth of those that he considered or called to be sons. Are you following me?
Yes,
so that progression is absolutely necessary. But so many Christians are so brittle and easy breakable that the moment the word begins to deal hard with them, they cannot survive those seasons. They cannot survive those moments. They cannot survive the harshness of the word. And whether you believe it or not, the word of God is oftentimes harsh. It is hard. Jesus called his disciples, gave them power to drive out demons and whatever the case may be. And then he began to teach them. And they said, Master, this is a hard thing. He said, this is a hard gospel. This is a hard word. In John 6:66, it says, and on that day, many disciples left him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And then Jesus turns to the ones that are remaining and he says, do you want to leave too? But the point is, the litmus test for their maturity and their walk with Jesus was when he began to speak the hard things to his disciples in that particular season. And that became the litmus test of who would be the remaining 12 that received the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me?
Yes,
so the hard things of God tests the durability, the strength, the versatility, the growth of a believer. And so we must intentionally participate in the things pertaining to growth. Are you with me?
Yes,
now, when we do not grow, and on the basis of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14, where we lack discernment, we produce a people that is never wrong. And everybody creates a context for themselves, and they are right within that context. Because everything is validated by their feelings, and there is no truth that weighs what they are doing. Are you following me?
Yes,
and so we're dealing with a generation that's in bondage to their own wisdom. Let me say that again. A generation that's in bondage to their own wisdom. Proverbs 21:2 captures it this way. It says, people are right in their own eyes. What does that mean? It means that they are in bondage to their own wisdom. Now, when you look at culture, and it's beginning to come into the church as well, one of the key things about culture is that there is a fear. There is a fear for reality. There's a fear for reality. And it's almost as if we're producing a culture where we give the thumbs up for what is not real. Do you understand what I'm saying? Watching a documentary about a month ago, and you should watch that documentary too. It's a very interesting documentary. The documentary is simply titled, What is a Woman? What is a Woman? And it's obviously in the American cultural context where we're now dealing with non-binary type of concepts where you need a male, need a female. And this guy in the documentary goes on the streets, asks a simple question to random people. He says, what is a woman? And there's a fear to answer. There is a fear to give a simple definition. There is a fear to give a simple meaning. He goes into university. He sits down with lecturers. He asks them, what is a woman? And nobody wants to commit. Now, what is happening? What is happening? There is a fear for reality. And so when you read Hebrews 5:14, one of the things that it teaches us is when we consume the Word of God, we are able to make proper judgment calls because we have matured to a place of understanding where there is no fear to make a judgment call. But what is happening is we are more and more veering into a place where Christians are not matured, and their immaturity makes them fear judging reality. You get what I'm saying? So in the documentary, it's quite interesting for me because that's probably one of the most simple questions you'll ever get in an exam. What is a woman? Now, you don't have to shout out the answer. But there's clear things that tells us this is a man, this is a woman. Now, I'm using that for illustration purposes to show you Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 that says, when we do not mature, we don't know how to make a judgment call. And so one of the ways that God tests your growth and your maturity is he places you in situation that requires you to pass judgment. And not necessarily in the gender context that I'm using for illustration purposes, but in every situation, in a conflicting situation, your maturity is tested. Can you pass correct judgment? When two people have issues with each other and they separate, your maturity is tested. Can you pass judgment? When somebody gets up and he teaches something, can you pass correct judgment upon that word? And the judgment that you pass is the difference between being a matured Christian and being an immature Christian. And when you get to a place where God begins to test how far you have grown, you will constantly be presented with situations you have to judge. Are you following me?
Yes.
And that then becomes the litmus test. But here's the problem. We do not subscribe to the wisdom of God anymore. We are in bondage to our own wisdom. Proverbs 21:2. Everybody is right in his own eyes. That's a powerful scripture. Everybody is right in his own eyes. And you begin to see how the language begins to evolve and the language begins to grow consistently with that narrative. And so we can no longer say what is right and wrong. It is, how do you feel, Aresola? No. If that is how you feel, that is your truth. And so there's no longer absolutes. How do you feel, Obi? Well, that's your truth. Let him have it. That's his truth. But that is not how God establishes things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because truth is yes or no. It is white or black. There's no middle ground when it comes to the things of God. And that becomes the litmus test of a believer's maturity. Now watch this. When a church comes into a place, and again for illustration purposes, and let's say there's a church split or there's conflict in the church. The most matured individuals in that scenario are the ones who make the correct judgment calls. Do you understand that? Who make the correct judgment calls. And that becomes key. If not, we fulfill prophetically Proverbs 21, everyone is right in his own eyes. Now, there are key indicators of when a person is not growing and when a person is not maturing. Ephesians 4 says they are tossed to and fro. Let's read that quickly. Ephesians 4:14. They are tossed to and fro. Ephesians 4:14. We're talking about how the community holds you accountable for growth. Are you with me? Just a continuation of the teaching the other night. Then we will no longer be infants, using the word infants there. Another translation would say we will no longer be babies. Another translation will say we will no longer be immature. Being tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So what is a mark of somebody that is not maturing in the things of God? Tossed to and fro. He's torn between opinions. He's torn between views. There is no absolute truth that governs his life. He does not have a yes. He does not have a no. He's neutral where he's supposed to make a decision. He's for everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the scripture says such a one is a child, tossed to and fro by every wind and by every doctrine. The opposite then is true. The opposite then is true. Because it means a person that is matured, he is anchored in truth. And so the picture there of tossed to and fro by every wave is what the different, the picture you must have is there of a ship. One that is on water and he's moving with the waves. But the other ship is anchored. And no matter how strong the waves are, he's anchored. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is the danger of somebody that is not growing. Because that person is tossed to and fro by anything. And so maturity is when you come into a place of absolute truths. I know a lot of people say, I don't choose sides. But one of the marks of maturity is you have to choose sides. We think it's nice to say, I don't choose sides. Maturity actually chooses sides.
Yes.
And people don't get that. Maturity actually chooses a side. Because he says the immature does not choose a side. They are here and they are there. But maturity actually chooses a side. But we want to be politically correct. And so a person that cannot choose a side is an infant. Because maturity chooses a side. It's the hard things we don't speak in church. we reconcile with the idea that we are neutral, not knowing neutrality is a mark of immaturity. There are things in the kingdom you cannot be neutral on. You don't even go to the election poll and then you are neutral. Nobody gets to the voting booth neutral. Like, I'm neutral, I'm just going to vote for everybody. What happens? They discard that as a wasted ballot. It's a wasted ballot.
Yes. Wow.
So not even the systems of this world cater for neutrality.
Yes.
And so oftentimes we teach neutral as if it's something to be proud of. No, 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 no. The kingdom is in extremes.
Yes.
You might not believe it, but the kingdom is in extremes.
Yes.
The kingdom is never neutral.
Yes.
The kingdom is in extremes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Kingdom is never neutral. You look at Jesus, he's never neutral. He's extreme. Are you with me?
Yes,
they come, they test him on the law. He said, this lady was caught in adultery. He's extreme grace. He says, you're right. The law of Moses is right, that such a one should be stoned. But the law also says, the one without sin can stone her. And his extreme grace, he says to the lady, get up and go and sin no more. That's the requirement not to do it again. You understand what I'm saying? So the point is, there's no bragging rights in being neutral.
Wow.
Because the mark of maturity is you choose. You get me? Neutral people don't enter the promised land. This I put before you. I want you to choose life. I would have you choose life, but you're going to have to make a decision. You are either in or you are out. Which is it going to be? Nobody says to God, we're going to camp on the outskirts of the promised land because we're neutral. So he says, tossed to and fro. So that is a mark of immaturity. And that is applicable on everything pertaining to life. In conflict, there's a side. The thing is, we are trained like politicians in church. Trained like politicians. Who's right, Russia or Ukraine? You can't answer. The politician won't answer. Understand what I'm saying? Who's right, Russia or America? Politician will not answer. Politician will not answer. You get what I'm saying? Politician will not choose. But maturity makes a decision. And being tossed to and fro is a mark of immaturity. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
matured Christians cannot be neutral. They cannot be here or there. Ephesians 4:14. I want to read it again. It says, no longer infants, tossed to and fro by every wave, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning craftiness of deceitful people. And it's so interesting, the strong words he chooses there. He says cunning, crafty, deceitful. Those are strong words, man. He says it can't fool somebody that's matured. It cannot fool somebody that's matured. It's anchored. Not a mark of a person that is immature, that is not growing. There's a need for repetition in their lives. Hebrews 6:1, therefore leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not repeating again the foundations of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. He says, when we add towards maturity, we don't repeat the same thing. Now watch this. A mark that you are immature in the community is that we have to rebuke you for the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. You following me?
Yes,
when you have two, I have two kids. One is 6, the other one is a teenager. There's a need for repetition with a little one. But there's no need for repetition with a teenager. Because he has come of age. Now with her, I can have to say the same thing. You don't do that again. She'll catch it eventually because her age gives a sense of legitimacy that I have to repeat the lesson. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, but for a teenager, no. If I have to say this to you again, my boy, you know what's going to happen. Why? Because he has come of age. Now, the scripture here says that if there's a need for repetition, then you are a child. So when you show your growth, the same conversation is not on repeat. And that is concerning your life and concerning your ministry output. If you're part of this community and the things that's been taught from this pulpit needs to be repeated to you, you're a child. But maturity is that there's no need for us to repeat this because adults grasp things. They understand things. They apply certain things. So there's a need for growth in the community. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Another mark, and we've already dealt with it, is the inability to distinguish good from evil. Not knowing what is right, not knowing what is wrong. He says, but the matured are on solid food, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The marks of discernment at work in your spirit, man, is an indicator of maturity and an indicator of growth in your journey and in your walk with God. And God will constantly put moments before you where you have to choose right from wrong, good from evil. And there is a test that you will face as your maturity is tested. And then another mark of it is inconsistency. James speaks about it as somebody that forgets what he's been taught. He forgets what he's been taught. James 1, 23 to 24. James 1, 23 to 24. For if you listen to the word and do not obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, but when you walk away, you forget what you look like. Imagine how dumb that must be. Take out the mirror and you forget what you look like. And I love the symbolism and the illustration that he's using there. Because he says the one that don't obey the word, he does not necessarily own that word. And so it goes back to the one where that word has to be repeated. He keeps on forgetting the principles, the values of the kingdom. He keeps on forgetting the patterns of the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? He says, and such a person is one that looks at himself, walks away, and he completely forgets what he looks like. So those are the indicators of a person that's not growing. Tossed to and fro by every wind, in need of repetition, the inability to distinguish good from evil, and inconsistency. Forgets what he looks like. Forgets the word all the time. And the word needs to be repeated to that person. Are you with me? And those indicators reveals instability, but they also reveal an overdependence. Instability, because you are not constant in your value system, you are not constant in the principles, you are not constant in the outlook, and overdependence because you can't draw conclusions factually based on the evidence in front of you, but you're leaning towards what others say, and that informs the moves you make and the decisions that you make. Are you following me?
Yes,
and he says these are signs of somebody that is not growing in a community. And the Bible describes such a person in one term. He says they are lukewarm. They are neither hot nor cold. They are lukewarm. And the scripture says that God vomits such a person out. He's not pleased with such a person. So God would rather have you be extremely wrong or extremely right, but just don't be there. That's crazy when you think about it. Because God has more comfort with somebody that misses it completely than somebody that is not certain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because
yes,
he says, I would rather have you cold or hot, but not in between. Because if you're in between, you're a problem to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yes,
and that becomes the acid test of your maturity. So God tests our maturity periodically, where he presents these moments to us and he begins to weigh whether we are growing or not in a community. And all these things plays out in your character, not in your gift. Because God consistently audits our character. Consistently audits our character. Consistently audits our character. And those things become very, 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 very key. Now, I want to show you a picture where somebody functions highly in the gift of revelation and prophecy, but the next moment, his immaturity begins to show. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. To 22. I want to show you how he transitions from gift into immaturity. You can have a gift functioning at this level and still be deeply immature in your spirit, man. Because gifts are perfect. They come from God. But your maturity and your character is something you have to labor on. So this is why a person can have a perfect score on gift but fail dismally in the maturity test. Are you with me? Matthew 16, 16 to 22. Says, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Son of the living God." Spirit of revelation comes upon him. Then Jesus replied, he said, "Blessed are you, son, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." That's a profound moment because he's stepping into the spirit of revelation, and by this point, they have not received the impartation of the Holy Spirit yet. So it's a profound moment. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
"And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And he's just giving it to him. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." It's a powerful moment. You know, if your pastor can say that to you in the presence of everybody, man, I mean, that is your moment. Amen? So I want you to picture this. He's there with all the disciples. He taps into something supernatural and Jesus singles him out. "Oh, Obi, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Picture that now. And all of you are standing there. "Because you have seen this thing, I'm going to build a mega church, man." That's the picture you must have. "Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, the test of their maturity." So the first stanza, the manifestation of the gift. The next portion, the test of their maturity. "And suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day, he must be raised to life." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." Go to the next verse. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in your mind the things of God, but the things of men." Now, I want you to see this. In the first phase of that particular verse, we see the manifestation of great gifting. But in the next stanza of that verse, we see the manifestation of immaturity. So even though he functioned at a high level in his gift of revelation, when the acid and the litmus test came for his maturity, he failed dismally. Now watch this. Because he was functioning in a high level of revelation, Jesus then begins to open a matured conversation. And the matured conversation is, "I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer many things. This must happen so that the will of the Father can be fulfilled." It was almost as if his gift qualified him for mature things. Because I love how the scripture says. It says, after they said that, at that point, Jesus began the conversation with them. Now, let's bring that into proper context. It is not how we process things at gift level. It is how we process things at test level that reveals our maturity. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that becomes the acid test of how mature they are. And then Jesus rebukes him. So in one minute, he says to him, "I'm changing your name, man. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. You are at another level." And then a few verses down the line, he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan, get behind me, Satan. That's a strong word and that's a strong transition from this high place to this low place. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You can be functioning at a high level in your gift and still be deeply immatured when it comes to the things of God. This is why sometimes you will see that people that are extremely gifted cannot see through the work of God. Like when you listen to them, when you look at them, when you engage them, I mean, these people are extremely gifted. There's no denying that. But when the things of the kingdom starts moving and gaining momentum, they don't have the maturity to see that process through. And Jesus rebukes him and he says to him, get behind me, Satan. So the litmus test for his maturity was not a revelation of Jesus, but it was a revelation of process. So it's not how you perceive me, it is how you perceive the next process that needs to happen. And so the hardships and the difficult moments is a test of your maturity. So even though a church can be extremely gifted, God might still not be pleased with that church because they are failing at this level. And he says to him, get behind me, Satan. That's a strong word to call him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Why is he calling him Satan? Because he's intercepting the purposes and the agenda of God.
Wow.
He's intercepting why Jesus came. He's intercepting the very agenda of the kingdom. And so immaturity can sabotage the team. So even though he had good motives, it was anti-kingdom. The motive was, nobody's going to harm you. Nobody's going to hurt you. And yet Jesus says to him, but that is my process. This needs to happen. This is absolutely necessary. I must go through this. So his motives were good, but it was anti-kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It was anti-kingdom. And that shows you that Peter was still very immature, even though he tapped into something supernatural in a moment. And this is what I keep on saying to people. The ability to heal the sick, the ability to drive out demons, the ability to tap the anointing in any given moment does not reveal your maturity. It just reveals your giftedness. But your maturity is revealed when we deal with operational things that forms part of the mission at the lower end of the ministry. That is really the acid test of your maturity. But we praise people for being extremely gifted, and yet those same people are extremely immature when it comes to the things of God. And so God will bring you through various cycles where your maturity will be tested. Conflict will test the maturity of the house. Infighting will test the maturity of the house. People joining the church and people being released from the church will test the maturity of the house. People falling and people being restored after they fall will test the maturity of the house. When the prodigal son returned after he messed up, the test was the maturity of the son that remained behind. And so when the father restores him, the other son catches feelings. He says, this boy went out and he did all these things and you couldn't do this for me. Father says, but you were always here. You always had access. You always had the benefits. It was a test of maturity for him. And so there are certain things that does not happen on the stage, that does not happen publicly, that happens behind the scenes, that is a test of your maturity. And God will periodically take every church through such cycles. Because even though we have good church, our maturity will be tested through the things that happens behind the scenes. And so we can be a good church as far as branding is concerned, but be absolute poor as far as maturity is concerned. Because every wind moves us. Everything that happens behind the scene moves us. It tosses us to and fro. And we develop a mindset that it is good to be neutral when we have to choose a side. So mature people choose a side. Mature people actually choose a side. When you read the scripture, mature people choose a side. They never neutral. Immature people are neutral. But mature people choose a side. And mature people know how to navigate the space after they choose a side. And those were marks of maturity. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Those were absolute tests of maturity. And so there must be a progression in your journey. Now let's run on. And so those things are very key. So let me recap that, but I want to get to something quickly. I just want to recap that so it stays in your spirit. So what are the four indicators that you are not growing? You are tossed to and fro by everything. There's a need for repetition. You don't have the ability to distinguish good from evil. You can't choose a side. You're neutral. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And then the last one was, there's inconsistency with you. You receive the word and you immediately forget what that word was. Now let's run on quickly. We're dealing with issues of growth in the community. You know, I'm teaching in a series here like I'm the pastor of the church. Amen. But I feel it's absolutely necessary to have this conversation with you for where God is taking you. Because there's certain things that I began to see as we prayed for these meetings, and I believe there's certain conversations that are absolutely necessary for this house, for the season you are in. Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. We're dealing with issues of growth. It says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and favor with men. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. There's a few verses I want to read, and then we're going to break down those definitions. Amen? And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and in favor with men. Issues of growth. That is what we're dealing with. Issues of growth in the community. Luke chapter 2, verse 46 to 52. Luke chapter 2, 46 to 52. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Now, again, you know it's bad parenting if you only realize after a few days your child is missing. You know, so I think they failed the parenting test right there. Imagine only discovering a few days later, "Hey, where's Tristan? It's been 6 days now." It's bad parenting. So Mary and Joseph was like the typical Nigerian parents. Amen. Let's carry on. Or typical South African parents, ne? And listen to the son's attitude here, verse 49. He says, "Why are you searching for me?" Imagine Maverick says that to you after 3 days. "Why are you searching for me?" He says, "Didn't you know I was in my father's house?" They did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And again, yes, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Luke 2:40. I'm looking at these aspects of growth. That's what I'm trying to zero in on. Luke 2:40. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, I want to look at those words quickly. We're dealing with issues of growth in the community. The word stature there comes from the Greek word elekia, and that means to come of age, to become fully matured, to journey towards a place where age is no longer a restriction, to come of age. The coming of age is absolutely necessary for anybody that's going to journey and walk with God, because when we come of age, God begins to entrust us now with more prophetic promises. So the spirit realm works like this. God gives us a prophetic promise, but he takes us through different cycles called rites of passage. And when we come of age, he begins to entrust portions and measures of that prophetic promises. So those things are fulfilled incrementally. So the prophetic word works at the pace of your growth. Did you understand what I'm saying? You grow into a prophetic word. Are you with me? So when God says, "I will make your name great," you grow towards that word. There's a series of tests that that comes to test your maturity. And when you pass them, you come of age and you begin to see bite sizes, small sizes of that word coming into fulfillment. This is why the word is not just fulfilled at one go. You come into it gradually. Are you following me?
Yes.
And that is what it means when it says coming of age. I'm going to look a little bit deeper at coming of age over the weekend for you collectively as a house, but I'm just dealing with some definitions here quickly. Then there's the word waxed. The word waxed there means to be made thick or to be fattened, to increase in mass. Are you following me? To increase in mass. Now, those two things are very key because the journey then is towards the fullness of a prophetic word. So maturity then deals with us literally presenting ourselves before God as saying we are mature enough to handle that prophetic word. Do you catch me? We are mature enough to handle that prophetic word. Why does God give us a prophetic promise and not just fulfill it? I mean, logically, if you say it, just do it.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I'm going to make you rich and now you have to now play the lotto for 10 years. Or you have to do sports bet that every week you are losing. Every week you are losing money on Chelsea and Arsenal. Amen. The point is that it's the test that matures us to handle the weight of fulfillment. It's the tests that matures us to handle the weight of a fulfilled prophecy. Are you following me? And so it is important for us to understand this. So God gives us a prophetic word and then he ushers us into growth cycles. And so how do you test if a church is matured? It is how they survive the things that I've just mentioned. Can they make correct judgment calls? Are they tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine? Do they move away and easily forget the word that I just gave them? And when the church collectively begins to fulfill those words, that church then comes into maturity. And on the other end of maturity is prophetic fulfillment. On the other end of maturity is prophetic fulfillment. On the other end of it is prophetic fulfillment. Now, the scripture that we read in Luke is interesting. Jesus comes to the earth. He knows what his mission is. He knows why he's in the earth. And as scripture says, he went and then submitted himself to his earthly parents.
Wow.
Why would he submit himself? Why? Because it is part of his maturation process in the natural. And it is there where he is pressed a certain way so that he can mature into the fullness of what the Father said would happen before the foundations of the earth. So God places us in environments that cultivates growth so that prophetic promises can be established and facilitated in our lives. And so we might not understand this, but some of the tests that we go through are initiated in the realm of the spirit. And it was God that hardened the heart of Pharaoh. That's crazy. Pharaoh didn't just get an attitude. It was God that hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And another translation speaks about Saul because the test is on David. And a tormenting spirit from God. You missed the verses, man. Came upon Saul. And then Saul took a javelin and threw it at David. Because David has to go through a series of tests that would cultivate maturity in him. So that when he gets to the throne, he has come of age. If Saul throws no spear at him, there is no test for his maturity because he's in the comforts of the palace. And so what we don't understand when we go through certain cycles of life is that it is God that initiates that. Yeah, let me put this in plain English. Sometimes God initiates the beef that people have with you. You think they just got upset They were fine yesterday. They just got upset with me today and they changed towards me. God made them upset. God sent a tormenting spirit. God hardened their hearts. We'll try and twist these scriptures when we read it because we don't want it to look as if God does these things. The scripture's plain. The scripture's very plain. Scripture's direct. You understand what I'm saying? Even in the Greek, it means it's God. You go into the Greek, it's still God. You go into the Hebrew, it's still God. You go into the original Aramaic, it is still God. Let's read it. Go to the one that says, and a tormenting spirit from God came upon him. So the point that I'm trying, there's it. And Saul's servant said, an evil spirit from the devil. An evil spirit from the pit of hell. An evil spirit from the witch of Endor. An evil spirit from God is tormenting him. But watch this. The torment upon Saul is to initiate a cycle of maturation for David. Because if Saul is in a good mood, David does not get tested. And David does not come of age, and he does not grow in stature, and he does not wax strong in the spirit. You following me? So God would initiate certain things in the realm of the spirit to cultivate growth and to cultivate maturity in the hearts of men. We don't know whether we matured or not until we are tested at that level. Do you understand that? And so no matter how angry we get with people, it is God sometimes behind the torment. And until we begin to understand that God is in charge of certain things that play out a certain way, that happen a certain way, we will curse certain events that are there for our growth.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And so God initiates these processes so that we can grow in stature, the definition that I gave you, and so that we can put on mass, wax strong in the spirit. Are you following me? And God begins to invite us into these cycles of growth. He begins to invite us into these patterns of growth, and he initiates that process so that we have the maturity to handle fulfilled prophecy. So that we have the maturity to handle fulfilled prophecy. So that we have the maturity to handle fulfilled prophecy. Because there's a certain level of maturity we must attain for certain things to come to pass. And so prophetic promises hinges on our maturity. That means if I don't grow as an individual, the word hovers. That word hovers. That means if you don't grow as an individual, that word is suspended until you come of age. That means if we don't grow as a collective church, that word hovers until we come of age. And the bad events of life is a process initiated by God to test our maturity. Good times does not test maturity. It is bad times that test maturity. Good times does not test maturity. It is hard times that test maturity. Peace does not test maturity. It is conflict that tests maturity. We thought our friendship was mature until conflict hit. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And this is what we don't get. And all of that becomes a process triggered in the realm of the spirit to cause us to grow so that we can handle fulfilled prophecy. so that we can handle fulfilled prophecy. So this is how it works in the realm of the Spirit. He gives a word, and then it triggers events. And how you pass those events determine where you get. Now let's use a hypothetical scenario. If David killed Saul because of his immaturity, would David become king? Think about it. He would not, because he would not have the maturity to judge the nation. If he cannot reconcile personal issues at this level, how will he reconcile national issues? You following me? And this is what a lot of people miss about David. That's what a lot of people miss about David. One of the reasons why David was against the idea of them killing his son Absalom. You know David didn't want them to kill Absalom, right? It was one of his generals that said, we'll kill this boy. You know, sometimes you need glints on your team, eh? Because you know Pizek is going to say, leave him. Glint say, ah, papi, we can't leave him. Is that not so? Is that not so? You need a glint on your team, man, because you know the pastor's going to say, ah, leave him, man, it's fine, leave this boy. Glint say, papi. You following? Now let's get back to the text. David does not want to kill Absalom. Why? Because the scenarios has changed. In that scene, David sees himself as Saul. And he sees Absalom as David. And he does not want to do to Absalom what Saul did to David. That's maturity. That's maturity. Because in that scene, he's no longer David. He's Saul. And that young boy is David. And he knows that when Saul was on the throne, his lack of maturity. And of course, we know how the story plays out because what happened had to happen. But I'm trying to show you when he came of age, his judgment was at a very different place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because a few years ago, that was him and Saul. Now he, Saul, is no longer David. And Absalom is David. And that's why he's saying, I don't want to kill this boy. Because at one stage in his life, an immature king wanted him dead. You see the scenario? But what is the test? Issues of judgment. Issues of judgment. Issues of judgment. And this is why God loved David so much, because he passed the growth and the maturity test. Are you following me?
Yes,
and those things are crucial and critical, because if we don't get through those tests, prophetic promise, it just hovers. And God is waiting on us to show maturity. God is waiting on us to show the signs of growth. God is waiting on us to come of full age. God is waiting on us to come into full stature. God is waiting on us to wax strong in the Spirit. And a prophetic word wants to come to pass, but you're not growing. You're not maturing. You're not growing. You're not maturing. You're not growing. You're not maturing. Prophetic fulfillment is for the matured. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Jesus says to his disciples, what I do, you will do, and even greater. But Judas missed the opportunity because he failed the maturity test. He's the only disciple that dies a disciple. All the other disciples die apostles. All the other disciples die apostles, martyrs for the gospel. He's the only one of the 12 that dies a disciple, never matured beyond that level, never grew beyond that level, never listed amongst them, never became part of the team that made the history because he failed the maturity test. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He's the only one that dies a disciple. Starts out a disciple, dies a disciple. But the other guys start out as disciples, they die as apostles. Maturity. Because they can only be trusted with prophetic fulfillment if they pass certain tests. Could it be that a test you are in is a test of maturity And the outcome of that is the difference between fulfilled prophetic promise or delayed prophetic promise. Prophecy moves at a pace of your growth. You must be intentional about growing in this community. Not just growing in this community, but growing with this community. And whatever tests, trials, and temptations come to this community, that is a test of your maturity initiated by God Himself. Initiated by God Himself. Initiated by God Himself. So it's a test of growth. And that is what community does. This is why communities go through tests. I keep on saying to people wherever I go, the church is not about good branding. Church is about growing together. Our preaching can be good. The music can be good, but are we growing as a community? Not growing in numbers, growing in spirit, waxing strong in the spirit, growing in stature, waxing strong in the spirit, growing in stature, waxing strong in the spirit. Are we growing like that? And last night before last, I showed you how when there's growth, there's a collective discernment that governs the house. There's a collective interpretation. There's a collective understanding that governs the house. Because we are growing together. The two shall become one. We are one in spirit. You understand what I'm saying? It is not unified around the course. It is unified in the spirit. So we don't throw out the common political course and we say we're unified around that. No, it is we are one. We see the same thing. We judge the same way. We interpret the same way. We apply ourselves the same way. We are growing because there's a prophetic thing that wants to burst over this house. But we cannot have weaklings in this season. We need men that are growing at the same rate, at the same pace, at the same level, because one of you will be the reason why we don't see the fulfillment of certain prophetic promises. No man left behind. This is the season you are in. Everybody must grow. And if you see somebody slacking, we pull him up higher. We strengthen him. We strengthen him in the Lord. We strengthen him in the Lord. We are waxing strong in the spirit and we are growing in stature. And that is the objective of community. This season that you are in as a church, there's a demand on you to show maturity. At all levels, all of you individually, there's a demand on you to show maturity in this season. Because what God wants to release over this house, in this nation, in the nations of the earth, it is massive. Don't gamble with your maturity. 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 I told you the first night, we don't want to get to a place where God regrets that He gave us such an opportunity. Are you hearing the man of God this evening? Slip up your hands and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Slip up your hand and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Increase my capacity, Lord. Increase my capacity, Lord. Increase my capacity. Increase my capacity, Lord. Increase my capacity, Lord. Come on, push a little bit in the Spirit. Come on, come on. Increase my capacity. Increase my capacity. Wax strong in the spirit. We are increasing in the spirit. There's something significant that wants to burst over this house prophetically, but it hinges on our maturity collectively. Our collective maturity. It hinges on our collective maturity. Rabadaria broshade. Krapradaria braskadaria la maskadar la babashia la mantoshkade. Increase my capacity, increase my capacity, increase my capacity, increase my capacity. Kokrolona masia nork dar la babashia la lamantosh kedei. Raprodoria brask dar na karia brask dai. Lemprodoria brosk dor lo bobosia elementosh kedar la babashia la lamantosh kedei. Nenkrabar la babashia la lamantosh kedei. Raprodoria brosk dar la babashia nosh kedei. Nenkroboria brask dar la babashia la lamantosh kedar la babashie. Shekleberia Alamantos que darle bebesi el elementor lo bobosha na kabaria boshe de chakrabaria bros dar la babasi alamantos que de rakroboria bros que dorno coria bros que dar secreber le bebesi el elementos que de rabadaria bros que dar la babasi alamantos que de rakrabaria bros que dorlo bobosha nos que de we are coming of age, we are coming of age, increasing stature and waxing strong in the spirit. And the child waxed strong in the spirit. And the child waxed strong in the spirit. He swelled in the spirit. He put on mass in the spirit. He put on weight in the spirit. He increased in the spirit. Shakrabaria broskador lo bobosia noskadai. Rapkrodoria broskador lo bobosia elementoskadar. Shakrabaria broskadar la babasia la lamantoskade. Shakloboria basadai le bebesia elementoskado. Nonkrobor lo bobosia la lamantar la babasia breskaduria broskade. Lapkrodoria broskadar la babasia noskade. Nenkrabaria broskador lo bobosia elementoskadar. Rapkrodoria broskador lo Bosia noska dar la basia brosha dai. Shekleberia brosha dar la babasia la lamantoska dai. Shaklabaria brosha dalia brosha dar na maria brosha dai. Shekna marno moskaduria brosha daria brese dei. Shekleberia la lamantoska daria brosha dei. Lapo dosha basha de sabafa nosia neske dei. Petrodolia brosha dai ne mesia noche dei. Pray, 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 pray. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Our collective maturity, our collective maturity, our collective maturity, our collective maturity, our collective maturity. It is being weighed. It is being weighed. Increase my capacity, Lord. Increase my capacity, Lord. Help me to develop the disciplines that is required in this particular season. Keroboria broshadar na karia brosadai. Lekroboria broskador lo bobosia la lamantosh kedur lo bobosie. Nenkleberia brasadaria broskadar la babasie. Lokroboria broshadar la babasie le lemeskador. Nonkrodor lo bobosia la lamakaya la masata. Slekobosia la lamosh keduria broshadai. Sekleberia la lamantes kedai rababasia broskador. Shapladaria broshadar ne keria broskadai. Seklamaria noskador lo bobosio lo lamontosh kabale. Pray, 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 don't stop. Yes, let it fall like rain, Lord. 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 The Spirit of God is strong in this place. Push. Push, 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 push. Olo mosheke, lebe doshede, rapodoria broshede, trebederia brosedar, nankrabar lebe besiel elementoskador, shekleberia brashadai, rakrabaria brosodo, nenkreberia brushkadar, lakrabaria bresede, sekleberia brosadar, nankrabaria bresadai, sekleberia brushkador, shapradaria brashadai, Lekreberia brasadar, Nenklodoria brosodor, Sacrabaria breskedai, Leprederia bruskeda, Shaklabaria boskede, Lemplodoria noskedai, Rabasador, Lobobosia brashkedor, Nokoskede, Nenklemesa duria brosadar, Lababasia broskedai, Shekleberia lamanto shede, Shebederia brosador, Lobobosia lamanto shede, Shaklabaria bleshede, Lebebesia noskedo, Shaklobor lebebesia lamanteskede, Rapadaria brosador, Lobobosia. Bosede, Krobodoria broske dar ne kelia basa dai ne meska durlo bose, Prokrodoria brosha dar bababasia noshe de, Predosia noshe de. Pray, 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 pray. And we will wax strong in the spirit, pray. And we will wax strong in the spirit. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, 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 yes. Push. Yalamando sede, Shekleberia broshado robosia broshadar, Sakrabaria breskede lebebesia noskede. Rapodoria broshadei lebe beseneshkdor. Shepleberia broshadei. Shekleberia broshadei. Rabararia broskdor lobo bosia broshkdor. Nonkrodor lobo bosia elementoshkdei. Rapkredaria broskdor lobo bosia elementoshkdor. Nankrebaria broshkdar la babasia noshkdei. Rapkrodoria broskdor lobo bosia la lamantoshkdei. Rapkrodoria broshkdor lobo bosia noshkdei. Nenkrabaria broshkador lobo bosia broshadai. Shetlebe, shetlebe, shakararia broshadai. In Jesus' name. Man of God, one of the things that I saw in the spirit very clearly, I saw like a massive cloud that just burst upon this house. And that's a cloud of glory. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't clap. The 7 days after the 21 days, there's so much that's going to happen for you guys. So much. Watch the 7 days after the 21 days. It's going to be testimony. It's going to be fulfillment of things God showed you. It's going to be significant things that's going to shift for you. The 7 days, listen to what I'm saying. You can write this down. The 7 days after the 21 days, it's going to be filled with so many testimonies and so many things you have trusted God with that you laid on this altar during this 21 days. The 7 days after the 21 days, I literally saw this cloud, man, just hanging over this house. And I saw it burst open and it was like rain just fell upon this house. And that's a glory cloud. That's a glory cloud. I don't often see these things, but I saw that as we were praying. And so the 7 days after the 21 days is going to be fulfilled with significant testimonies. The season this church is in is a season of maturation. And God has taken you through so many things over the past 2 years. And that became the litmus test for what God wants to trust you with, prophetically speaking. Prophetically speaking. And you know those promises. You know some of the things that God said to you. But this church will become a catalyst of a new type of revival. Not just in this nation. Listen to me very clearly. But in the nations of the earth. It will start here, but it will be in the nations of the earth. And it's a new revival that you are going to bring to the nations. You know, I don't say this to hype you up or to get you excited. I say this because it's the word of the Lord. There's great grace upon this man. There's a season where we have to rally around him and pray for him a lot. Because where God is taking this man, it's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be scary. The growth is going to be so ridiculous. For him in his personal capacity, significant exposure is coming. Significant exposure. And the thing about Pastor Kunle, that why God will entrust him with this, is because it's not things that he has desired. He didn't wake up and say, hey man, one day I want to be. It's because his heart is pure. And he'll tell you, whenever I speak to him, I always say that to him. I always say to him, you are a pure spirited man. Like I literally repeat that line every time I speak to him. I would say to him, you are a pure spirited man. And God will honor the purity of your spirit, man. You know, when we speak offline, it's always a line I give him. Even when he calls me, even when I text, I say to him, you are a pure spirited man. That's what God has shown me about him. And that's why God will honor you significantly in this season. Pray for this man. Rally around him as a church. If you guys can find a day, not just in your own cup space, day a week to fast just for him and his wife and his family. Do that. Because there's significance upon this house and it's going to be massive. It's going to be massive. What you'll have experienced the past 2 years is that test of maturity so that God can trust you with prophetic fulfillment. And I know we don't want to say this, but a whole lot of those things was triggered by God in the spirit. A whole lot of it was triggered by God in the spirit. You know, I'm an apostle. I say what I want to say, you know, so... So we just speak. You understand what I'm saying? We speak without apology. We speak without fear of contradiction. We say what we want to say. You understand what I'm saying? And it's going to be significant. Man of God, there's a peace coming to you. The unsettling and the rumblings in your spirit, God is going to cause you to transition and he's going to give you peace for whatever needs to happen next in your life. I see a sense of apprehension. I see a sense of fear, a sense of reluctance and doubt. But there's a peace that's going to come upon you and you will know exactly what to do. With absolute certainty, you will know what to do. In Jesus' name. And so we thank you now, Lord, for this glory cloud. We thank you now, Lord, for this glory cloud. We thank you now, Lord, for what needs to happen next. And we thank you, Lord, for the 7 days after the 21 days. We thank you, Lord, for the 7 days after the 21 days. We thank you, Lord, for the 7 days after the 21 days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for you. Stretch your hands towards her. We pray for new beginnings now.
Amen.
We pray for new beginnings now.
Amen.
And we pray for a significant harvest, Lord.
Amen.
Every tear she has shed, Lord, you will turn it into significant joy in this next season. Season of your lifting is upon you. The Lord himself will smile upon you.
Amen.
And the Lord will reward you greatly in the days to come. Greatly. You will experience so much joy, you will forget everything that ever happened to you.
Yeah.
And that is to the extent that God will bring joy and restore joy to your life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lift your hands, just begin to worship him reverently. I sense a prophetic flow, so if there's a word, I'm going to release it. But just lift your hands, just worship him. 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 Just bring him. Pray, 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 pray. I'm not going to say everything over the mic. Pray. Worship him. Rababasi and Noshe Lebesia Noshe Day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, if you believe the word of the Lord to be true, put your hands above your head and give the Lord your loudest clap. Come on.